Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to say sincere thank you to Brother Kellum, who took last Wednesday night's adult Bible study. I had every intention of being here for service, and I was away help building playground equipment at a special camp, a camp for children with spina bifida, and the project did not go as planned, and so it drug on into the evening, and I was not able to make it back in time for service, so I do apologize for that, but I do want to say thank you to Brother Kellum. I heard what a wonderful job he did teaching. Thank you for helping us out. It's good to know that when pastors away, that people still come, and there's people in place to pick up any slack, and I know that nothing is lost in these fine men that are able to minister in my stead, and so I thank you for that. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement, things that are coming up here in the near future. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, so just be aware of that. Make sure you honor your mothers. They are still with us, and we will take special time during that service to honor the mothers that are present here in service. Please be reminded that there will be no PM service on Mother's Day, so next Sunday night there will not be a PM service. We do this to give you opportunity to spend time with family, celebrate your moms, and sometimes there's travel involved and things of that nature, and so we do not have a Sunday night service on Mother's Day. Then Friday, May the 15th, which will be a week from this Friday, there is a fellowship rally for area churches. This is put on by the United Pentecostal Church of DeKalb, and we encourage you to go be a part of that. If we get those that want to meet here, we can take a van, one of the church vans, and that way transportation can be provided. The Grimms, who are not here this morning, they are away this weekend, but they have opened their home for fellowship after the rally, so not only will you have the treat of going and being a part of the rally, but if you would like to, you can reconvene at their home after the service on Friday night and there have fellowship together one with another. Saturday, May 16th is a big day. It's not only a church work day here at the house of the Lord. We need all hands on deck, any that can help us. There's cleaning, rearranging, stuff we need to do. We got to switch around some rooms and that sort of stuff. So Saturday, May the 16th, will begin at 9 a.m. if you could come and help us work here at the church. And then that evening, we have our small group fellowship. There is a sheet out on the bulletin board which lets you know what is happening, when, where, and who's involved in that. If you would like to be involved in that and are not yet involved in that, you'll need to see Brother and Sister Graham. Again, they're not here this morning, but you can see them. They are organizing this, putting this together, and we appreciate that. The first one was a great success. We're looking forward to the next one, and that is happening May the 16th. One more item of business, if you will. Over the last month and a half or so, I have received three or four of these. Can't read it from there unless you got real good eyesight. But it is a crime prevention notice. This is something that is placed upon our door by Sandwich Police Department. Evidently, we are having issues with keeping our building secure and locking up. So just help us in that endeavor. If you're up here and you're working, we always encourage that. I know there's many people throughout the fellowship that do have keys, and that's fine. But please make sure that the building is locked and secure when you leave here. That way we're not continually getting some notices from the police department that we're not locking up our building. So we would appreciate that. And if you would help us in that endeavor, we thank you so much. Why don't you stand to your feet? So good to have you here in service with us this morning. We hope that you will leave here renewed, rejuvenated, re-energized, feeling the power and presence of the Lord. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6, begin reading in verse number 14. Apostle Paul writing those at Galatia. Says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Everybody say a new creature. I'll draw your attention back to verse number 14. Apostle Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Might I say it this way? The Apostle Paul was saying, listen, I don't find glory in anything else. There's nothing else that is more honorable. There's nothing else that I find confidence in. There is nothing. He said, God forbid that I would glory in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he makes this statement, and it's where I would like to draw your attention and the title of my message this morning. He says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Can we pray, dear Jesus? We love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor that you are so due and so worthy of. God, I ask that you would open the hearts and minds of everyone present in this place this morning, that they would receive your word, God, that we would go forth, not being hearers only, but being doers, God, that we would understand what it means, God, for this world to be crucified unto us and we unto this world. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Reading the book of Galatians, in fact, in many of Paul's writings, it's very apparent that the Apostle Paul is attempting to impart unto the readers of his letters the supreme sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Paul's writings are replete with emphasis on salvation and justification through faith in Jesus Christ rather than through works of the law. This is not to say that works do not matter, for in just a few verses prior to our text, Paul writes in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Paul is in no way invalidating one's work or how someone who has faith in Jesus Christ demonstrates that faith through what they do. But rather, Paul is expressing the idea that true conversion or a true convert is not just someone who decides to do certain things or to live a certain way, but rather true conversion or a true convert is exemplified in someone who is a whole new creature. That's why he says in Jesus Christ, circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creature. In other words, it is evident in someone's life who is converted or who has been converted that there is a difference in them, not only by what they do, but how they live, how they think. They are a new creature. Conversion is not just a commitment. Conversion is not just a statement. Conversion is not something that I am just convicted about. Conversion is me being a new creature. Conversion is me being something different than I was before. The Apostle Paul is stressing this fact through his writings. He's letting us know and understand that being a convert or being converted or experience conversion, if you will, creates in someone a new creature. It's
That's why he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become or becoming new." This new creature, this true convert or product of true conversion has become new by no other way than through the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works lest any man should boast, but my works show that I have been converted. My works exemplify my faith in Jesus Christ, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, when I am in Christ and I am in converted and I am a Christian, then by the very deeds that I do, they exemplify that I am different, that I am a new creature, because I don't do what I used to do. I don't go where I used to go. I don't think how I used to think. I don't live how I used to live, and by that fruit it bears record that I have been converted, that I am a new creature. You see, the understanding of this is that the preaching of Jesus Christ is the preaching of a new creature. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the archetype of a new creature. He is the one who lived a perfect life. He is the one who overcame the world. He is the one, though fully God, He was also fully man. And as a man, He was tempted in all points like as are we, yet without sin. Jesus was the epitome, if you will. He was the perfect example. He was the archetype of a new creature. Someone born of God. Someone born again. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is why the preaching of Jesus not only reveals what I cannot do without Him, it also reveals what I can do with Him. It reveals that all things are possible with Christ, that I can live different, that I can be a new creature, that I can resist the temptation, that I cannot do what I used to do, and that I can abstain from going where I used to go. And I, as an individual, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, by what He did for me, I can be a convert. I can be converted. You see, might I say this, and I know it may be a little harsh, but it's true. Preaching that does not promote or propagate newness of a life like Jesus through the power of the cross compels no one to true conversion. I'm going to say that again. Preaching that does not promote and propagate a newness of a life like Jesus through the power of the cross compels no one to true conversion. See, the power to live Christ-like, to truly be the embodiment of what it means to be a Christian does not come by a consoling and compromising kind of preaching. I didn't think I'd get many amens on that one. I'm going to say it again. The power to live Christ-like or to truly be the embodiment of what it means to be a Christian, it does not come by having my ears tickled and having someone say what I want them to say, by having someone walk to a pulpit and preach some feel-good message that doesn't prompt any change in my life. No, friend of mine, saint of God. The reality is that true Christian-type preaching compels me to change. Compels me to do different. It compels me to live different. It prompts me to say, I can, through the power of Jesus Christ, not be susceptible unto sin. I can, through the power of Jesus Christ, not fall prey to temptation. I can, because He did. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "But God forbid that I glory in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." I've come to know it is the cross of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for me that gives me the power to sacrifice for Him. compels me. See, a convert, a new creature, a conversion kind of preaching says this, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. A converting, new creature kind of preaching says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A converting, new creature kind of preaching says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? A converting new creature kind of preaching says, abstain from even the appearance of evil. I know it's straight. I know it's not something the populace would like to hear. I know it's not something that's welcomed in many church services this morning. But might I say this, a new creature kind of preaching says that there's a hating of even the garment spotted by the flesh. A new creature kind of preaching says, whatever it takes to save my soul, preacher, say it, that I would set my affection upon things above. I would look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, my hero, the archetype, the one who is the epitome of the new creature, the one that I pattern my life after, and only then can I truly call myself a Christian. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that sometimes I give in to the flesh. Oh no, I do. But the reality is every day of my life, there's something inside of me compelling me to change so I don't fall prey to what I did yesterday today. That's the kind of preaching that converts. That's the kind of preaching that causes people to want to change. That's the kind of concept that comes across letting me know in order to be a new creature, there's something that has to happen. There's an ideology. There's a way to live. He said, first thing you need to know, the evidence, the example of a new creature, is that he understands this concept. The world is crucified unto me. The world, might I say it this way, the world is dead unto me. But let's face it, we haven't all, at least I haven't completely killed. And maybe you have. I haven't completely killed all the lust and affection for this world. But guess what? I'm striving. I'm pressing toward the mark. And I'm learning. Every day of my life, I want to live where more of this world is dying unto me. Where I have less attachment today than I did yesterday to the world and all it holds. Because guess what? If the world is crucified unto me, then I don't desire what the world desires. I don't long for what the world longs for. I don't crave what this world craves. If this world is truly dead unto me, what moves this world doesn't move me. What interests the world doesn't interest me. Let me just say it this way. I know in our age of technology, and please understand where I'm going with this. You pull up your home screen to check your email, and there's all these different types of stories that are scrolling across the screen, and news blips, and things about entertainment and sports. And I'm not preaching against all those things, but what I've come to realize, the more I grow in Christ, the less I care about that. The less that appeals to me, the less tempted I am to click and go surfing off somewhere to where I'm looking into somebody else's life. Guess what? I don't care. I'm just going to be honest with you. What goes on in some households and what's propagated all over the media, I don't care what's going on in their life. Why? Because they don't have the same affections that I do. My affections are set on things above. I've come to know this. You see, what the world has is dreams and goals and aspirations. They're not my dreams. They're not my goals. They're not my aspirations. No. Why? because this world is crucified unto me. Every day of my life, I want more of this world to die in my eyes and in my concept and in my perception. I want more of this world. Listen, I'm not being mean. I'm not being injurious. I just know this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. There's something more important to me than anything this world has to offer. It's the hereafter that awaits me. I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. See, a new creature with new life doesn't find fulfillment in a dying world. I'll say it again. A new creature with a new life doesn't find fulfillment in a dying world. In other words, there's nothing there which gives me anything that I need. I know I must abide. I know I occupy till he comes. I know there's things that as a father and as a husband and as somebody in the community, there's things that I should do. Don't get me wrong on that front. I understand there's obligations. But when those obligations become obsessions of my life, and when those things that and those hobbies and those attachments take up more time of mine than doing things for the Lord, I've got things out of balance. I've let things go askew, and I need to turn things back in balance and say, God, get me in the place where I'm converted and I'm compelled to change and be like you. Jesus was a nonconformist. Jesus, God of heaven and earth, the one who owned it all, looked at a man and said, foxes have their holes. Birds of the nest, our birds have the nest. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I'm not interested in investing. Catch this. My kingdom is not of this world. Although if we would understand, if we would become more kingdom-minded about the kingdom that is to come and God's kingdom than we are about building our own kingdom in this world, it would start making all the difference in our lives. Why? Because it would show that I'm a new creature, that I don't care much for what this world has and what it can offer, but oh, I care for what the world to come has and what it offers. See, the more I pursue Christ, the less I care about what this world offers. The more I am truly converted. Why? Paul, writing in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 and verse 23, says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul had the right perspective. He said, for me to live is just to exemplify Christ. But to die is gain. Die, I don't know, some of you may have seen it. It's a little article that's been floating around on Facebook about the woman. I don't know if the story's true, but it sounds pretty unique. She was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and the pastor came to visit, and she was making her final request known to her pastor. And I won't get all the details right, but I'll get the gist of it. And she gave her last wishes, the pastor, what would happen and who would sing and what would go on. And the final service, if you will. And right before her pastor turned to leave, and she said, oh yeah, one more thing. He said, yes. He said, I would like to be buried in my coffin. I would like to have a fork in my hand. The pastor looked at her and said, well, that's kind of strange. Well, okay, but might I ask why? Why would you want to be buried with a fork? She said, well, because I've been going to church for a long time, Pastor. And she said, a lot of times we would be at a potluck or a dinner, and the main course would be served, and we would all eat, and somebody would look over at me and say, hey, save your fork. The best is yet to come. She said, Pastor, the best is yet to come. She had a concept. She had an understanding. This is not what it's all about, Pastor. I'm about to go on to my reward. I'm about to live where there are pleasures forevermore. Make sure there's a fork in my hand, Pastor. The best is yet to come. Can I say it this way? True conversion looks at death in this life as gain in the next. And life in this life as loss in the next. Catch it. Paul said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." So nevertheless, it's more needful for you that I abide here in the flesh. I'd rather go on to glory. I'd rather go ahead and take my last breath and be in the portals of glory. I'd rather, but it's more needful that I stay here. Why? Because for me to live as Christ, I want to exemplify that this world is dead unto me. This world is crucified unto me. This world and all it has to offer has no appeal to my life. My life is lived in the understanding of the life that is to come. No less than 6 times in the Gospels, the words of Jesus are recorded with him saying this: "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." What he's saying, Jesus, only this: you seek to try to find fulfillment in this life, and you can't, because you are a new creature. And your new life finds no fulfillment in this life. Catch this. "But whosoever shall lose his life, the same shall find it." A compromising and consoling kind of preaching proposes that you can have your cake and eat it too. But true conversion is a concept that here, no cake exists at all. I know I've repeated myself a lot this morning, but maybe because I'm trying to get the point home. A compromising and consoling kind of preaching proposes that you can have your cake and eat it too. Your best life now. No, I'm sorry. My best life is not now. A true conversion kind of preaching realizes that there is no cake here. It's at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And yes, for eternity, I will have my cake and eat it too. Living in the portals of glory where there are pleasures forevermore. This world is just temporal. What it offers will only satisfy for a moment. But James said in regards to this world, life is but a vapor. But all eternal life where I live with him forever is what I'm longing for. Is what I'm looking for. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. Oh, that we would get back in the mind of the church a concept that we don't care much about the here and now, but oh, we're so concerned with the hereafter. We're so concerned with what awaits us on the other side. We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I'm looking with expectation. I'm not fearful about what's going on in this world. I'm not upset. Yes, do I understand it's going further and further in sin, that it's sinking in the depths and depravity of this world and worldliness? Yes, I understand that. But hell, when I understand, when all these things begin to happen, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. And the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. Hey, brother and sister, I know you may be going through it. I know there may be persecution in this life. I know you may be ridiculed and you may be mocked because you're a Bible thumper, because you're a Christian, because you're converted, because you don't do like they do and you don't live like they live. But just hold on. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season you shall reap. If you faint not, what are you saying? Hey, you may not get it here, but you'll definitely get it over there. He goes on to say, not only is the world crucified unto me, but I unto the world. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not only is this world dead to me, catch this, but I am dead to this world. I am dead to this world. Conversion, living as a new creature, compels me to give my life like Christ, like he gave it for me. It compels me to sacrificially give for others. Did they would be converted. That they would begin to see as I see. That their perception would start coming alongside my perception and the understanding that this world is dead to me. And I unto this world. Might I say it this way? Living for God is impossible without dying to this world. Living for God is impossible without dying to this world. For in him do we live, move, and have our being. Does that then make the inverse true? Does that mean that in this world must we die, stop, and cease to be? I know it's straight. I know in your mind you may be saying this, preacher, what you are proposing is impossible. To live like that, to experience that kind of conversion. Preacher, I don't think that's possible. Jesus Christ proves that it is not. Jesus Christ, and that's why Paul says this, I won't glory in anything else save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because through that, this world is crucified unto me, and I unto this world. That's why when I start having affection for this world and I start longing after the things of this life, what I need to do is come back to the feet of Calvary. What I need to do is come back to a cross and say, Jesus, you overcame the world. Jesus, you resisted all temptation. Jesus, you are the epitome. You're the archetype of a new creature now. I know that all things are possible with you. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. And this world is not completely dead to me yet, but help me to kill more of it, God. Help me to let more of it die in my life. For that shows that I am a new creature. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Paul said, God forbid that I would glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Friend of mine, saint of God, don't get frustrated because the journey seems impossible. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't fall prey to the comfort and consoling and compromising kind of preaching and ideology. Conversion is a process that doesn't happen all at once. It takes time, commitment, consecration, and most importantly, it takes a complete reliance upon the power and sufficiency in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where I glory. It's in the cross of Jesus Christ because it compels true conversion. It compels me to be different, to live different, to do different. One of the most disappointing things is those who profess Christianity, but there is no change. Those who profess themselves to be a follower of Jesus Christ, yet no true conversion is evident in their life. Those who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus, but yet they follow after this world and what it has and what it offers. I'm sorry, but those two are irreconcilable. You see, I endeavor, I long for, I seek for a mindset like that of Apostle Paul. That this world is crucified unto me, and I unto this world. The life that I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who gave Himself for me. And I, in faith and response to that, then give myself for Him. And in giving myself, this world is dying unto me. And I am dying unto this world. It's no wonder that the Lord looks at death differently than we do. Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because he knows this is just a dress rehearsal for an eternal ceremony that will have me forever with him. When I finally leave this life, whatever the cause of my death might be, I would be that it was precious in the eyes of the Lord. I would leave a legacy of a life not lived for this world, but a life lived for God. Somebody may look at my life and say, wow, the world is dead unto him. And he is dead unto this world. You see, I want it to be that I find no hope, no heartbeat, no life at all in what this world has. But that all my hope, that all my heart, that everything that is within me strives and seeks and desires after the things of God. For if I am truly living for God, then I am dying to this world. All over this house, whatever you feel comfortable doing, whether it's lifting your hands or bowing your head, I know the remaining moments of this message here this morning, there's serious contemplation, consideration that is in one another's spirit. Lord, I truly want to be converted. Lord, I truly want to be someone who's changed. And I know it's not possible in and of myself. I know commitment can only go so far, and consecration can only go so far, and a desire to do different and a commitment can only compel me so much. I need the power of the cross. Grace that teaches me to deny ungodliness. I need you, Jesus, to help me. For I want to live for you. And living for you means dying to this world. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. If you need an invitation, these altars are open for any who would come and bow before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to live for you. I need the power of the cross in my life, converting me, changing me, making me a new creature. that all things would be passed away and that all things were becoming new. For this world is crucified unto me, and I unto this world.